natural death. Dr. King was murdered. And in fact, I found the document stamped by the CIA dated 1965, May 11th, 1965, that said somewhere at the top, there must be a Negro who is clean, who can step into the vacuum and chaos once Dr. King is either exposed or assassinated.
In Texas, they lynched Negroes. My teammates and I saw a man strung up by his neck and set on fire. We drove through a lynch mob, pressed our faces against the floorboard. I looked at my teammates. I saw the fear in their eyes. And worse, the shame.
Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be, a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God say to America, you're too arrogant. You don't change your ways. I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
This is Opio. I'm speaking to Cynthia McKinney. When you talk about a person that speaks truth to power, this is the person. She's a former congresswoman from Georgia. As a matter of fact, the Atlanta area, Decatur Stone Mountain, if I'm correct. At this point, we're coming on the 40th year anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. Cynthia McKinney is running for the nomination of the Green Party for President of the United States. She left the Democratic Party. How are you doing today, sister?
Hi, Opio, and I really am glad that we're going to have a chance to have a talk today, because you're so right that Dr. King was murdered 40 years ago. It's coming up on April 4th, and even despite the passage of 40 years, there are parallels between what was happening then in our country and what's happening now. And probably the worst of all is that the American people, the bulk of the American people, don't even know who's responsible, truly, for the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We have been told a set of assertions that are not the facts. And during my time in Congress, I looked very closely at the counterintelligence program. One of the things that I looked at was the fact that we have political prisoners in this country. Even today, we have people who acted on their political beliefs, and as a result of their political beliefs, they were targeted in what Senator Frank Church called illegal and un-American activities. They were targeted for, as the founding document of the counterintelligence program states, to misdirect, discredit, or otherwise neutralize. They were targeted for the kind of government misdirection, discrediting, or neutralization. And that neutralization includes everything, including assassination. So when we look at the murder of Dr. King, it has to be put into perspective. And that is that there are government papers that are still under cover of secrecy that help us to understand the role that the government played in surveilling Dr. King, making his life miserable, in maligning him in the corporate press, and finally, in his murder. And in the further maligning of his reputation and of his work after he was dead. I just happened to be looking at the transcript of Dr. King's, of the trial that was brought forward by the King family to try and get to the truth of who actually killed the husband, the man who was a husband and a father. A jury came back with a finding that Lloyd Jowers acted in concert with elements of the United States government for the purpose of murdering Dr. King. It was not admitted that Lloyd Jowers acted in concert with elements of the United States government for the purpose of murdering Dr. King. And even when we go to Memphis, Tennessee, there's going to be lots of activity at the Lorraine Hotel. One of the things that we have to remember is that the rifle that is there at the Lorraine Motel is not the murder weapon of Dr. King. How do we know this? We know this because I did a conference that had William Pepper, who was the attorney at that December 1999 trial for the King family, and Judge Joe Brown, whose charge it was, he was a judge in Tennessee, and he was charged with authenticating the murder weapon. And through his test, he stated at our event categorically that the rifle that's there at the museum is not the murder weapon. So the government has perpetrated a lot of lies that have been perpetuated over the years.
Now they must not be so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest, and everybody knows about this.
What was this Negro's crime that he should be hung without trial in a dark forest filled with fog? Was he a thief? Was he a killer? Or just a Negro? Was he a sharecropper? A preacher? Were his children waiting up for him? And who are we to just lie there and do nothing? No matter what he did, the mob was the criminal. But the law did nothing. Just left us wondering why.
Every boy has seen children of the heaven ring.
For those of us who have been students of the counterintelligence program, from political prisoners to the assassination of Dr. King to the attacks even of our cultural icons, like, for example, we shouldn't forget that Paul Robeson, the son of Paul Robeson, filed a lawsuit against the government because it turned out that the doctors that Paul Robeson was seeing were MK Ultra doctors. The same type of situation that prevailed with the Tuskegee experiment, where people thought they were going to be treated for their ailment and actually they were being studied. They were not being treated at all. And this was something that was carried out by our own government. So from our cultural icons, like Paul Robeson, like Tupac, that's why I filed a legislation while I was in the Congress to open up all the paperwork pertaining to the life, surveillance, and murder of Dr. King and of Tupac Shakur.
And that Tupac Shakur Center was in your former district.
That's correct. Actually located on Cynthia McKinney Parkway.
That's right.
So, for those of us who have tried to understand the workings of government and who know that government can do an awful lot of good for people, but government can also do an awful lot of bad, especially when people allow it to run amok and out of the line of sight of citizen activists.
April 4th, 1968, Dr. King stepped out onto the balcony of his motel room in Memphis, where he had been meeting with Ralph Abernathy, Jesse Jackson, and others.
Of all the evil that will happen.
We shouldn't be surprised then that agents of the Bush administration would lie to the American people 935 times. This is four spokespersons for the Bush administration, according to some studies of the media reporting, say that these lies that were told 935 times were reprinted and were broadcast by the leading media outlets of today. Well, I just happened to be looking at the testimony of Bill Shapp, who was at the time of the 1999 trial a co-publisher of the magazine Covert Action Quarterly. Not only was he an attorney, he was also a specialist in military and intelligence. And he talked about the willing complicity of the corporate media in the outright lies that were told and that plagued the movement that Dr. King and others built. But the leading outlets of the day, even of today, for example, the New York Times, the Christian Science Monitor, the Atlanta Constitution, the New Orleans Times-Picayune, the St. Louis Times-Dispatch. These are newspapers that have been able to survive the ups and downs of the financial vicissitudes of media empires, and yet they were willing participants in promulgating lies about Dr. King. Some of those lies were professional lies, they were personal lies. They did whatever the government asked them to do. They knowingly reprinted things that the government asked them to print, even though these things were not true. And for the last 5 years of Dr. King's life, he was hounded by these lies that were printed in all of America's leading newspapers. So when we look at today, the complicity of the media establishment in lying to the American people, in covering up the spying on innocent American people, we shouldn't be surprised, because all of us today need to become students of what happened to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He didn't die a natural death. Dr. King was murdered. And in fact, I found a document stamped by the CIA dated 1965, May 11th, 1965, that said somewhere at the top, there must be a Negro who is clean, who can step into the vacuum and chaos once Dr. King is either exposed or assassinated. So here the CIA is talking about assassination in 1965, a full 3 years before the deed was done. That document also importantly points to, I believe, something that has happened in the black community, that has happened in our international affairs, that perhaps is also happening in the larger white American community. And that is regime change. Now, regime change, we know, didn't just start with Patrice Lumumba. Regime change has been an ongoing aspect of U.S. international relations. What we haven't really focused on is the extent to which the United States government has utilized the policy of regime change inside our own boundaries. I think what the May 11th, 1965 document points to is regime change on black America. The selection of what it terms clean Negroes to lead black America and hence become leaders inside the American body politic before black people have even had the opportunity to select their own leaders. They say I'm preaching hey. Singing about a rebel.
way, a single shot was fired. Martin Luther King fell dead, murdered at the age of 39.
How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you let us sing?
The promises of the great society have been shut down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burden, both at the front and at home. Know the civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration. That's their business. But I'm afraid that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, cause none of them are gonna stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the...
We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy.
Extraordinary gifts. A dreamer with a vision of equality he shared so generously for the good of humanity. A hero of magnificent courage, eloquence, and inspiration.
So Jesus gave us a new norm of greatness. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition. This morning, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. Because everybody can serve. Every now and then, I guess we all think realistically about that day when we would be victimized. What is life's final common denominator? That's something. Think about it, and every now and then I think about my own death, and I think about my own funeral, and I don't think of it in a morbid sense. Every now and then I ask myself, what is it? And I was going to say, I leave the word to you this morning. If any of you are around, when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. Tell them not to talk to me. Every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That is it. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. love life serving others.
Opponent says, nothing that erodes the rule of law can be moral. But there is no rule of law in the Jim Crow South, not when Negroes are denied housing, turned away from schools, hospitals, and not when we are lynched. St. Augustine said, an unjust law is no law at all. Which means I have a right, even a duty, to resist with violence or civil disobedience. You should pray I choose the latter.
We did so in the past, and we're going to do it today, and the day after that, and the day after that. Because only through this proper example of the self-defense and the proper example of retaliation, and by letting these people know that we move from some basic laws, that anything that goes down on oppressed people, on the part of the oppressor, it should be reciprocal. And in plain proletarian workers' language, it takes two to tango.